then is Yoakum versus Yoakum. Ms. Goroff?
Correct.
Good morning to you, and Ms. Cleveland, good morning to you. Do either council have any questions before we begin?
No,
no. Ms. Goroff, you may approach and you may proceed.
Good morning, Chief Justice and the honorable members of this court. Counsel, my name is Ryan Swaroff. I'm the attorney for the appellant in this case, Heather Yoakum, now known as Heather Underwood. Today, I am asking this court to reverse the order of contempt from the district court in this case, or in the alternative, to find that it was error to not give her set-offs for the daycare expenses that she paid for the minor children from 2010 to 2018, child care expenses that totaled over $32,000 for those four children. I'm also asking that this court reverse the order of attorney's fees in this case. With regard to the contempt, because of the seriousness of the consequences of a contempt action, it is important that the court is precise about what the decree either requires someone to do or not to do. In this case, Mr. Yoakum could not claim the minor children on his taxes unless he was current on his child support, child care obligations, and medical obligations for the minor children.
What does the word current mean in the context of a wage withholding?
So in the context of a wage withholding, it may mean that there is some amount of balance for the purposes of being reported as delinquent for that arrearage or that delinquency. For this decree, current means there's no balance. So I think you're referencing, Justice, the statute 4317.18.01, which says that somebody cannot be reported as delinquent solely because of the schedule of their wage withholding, which that doesn't even apply to Mr. Yoakum in this case, because if you look at the evidence, specifically Exhibit 11, which is the child support payment history for this case, it wasn't that Mr. Yoakum had a balance because of his wage withholding schedule. He had a balance because he didn't make a payment in March of 2013. And you can clearly see that in Exhibit 11. And then he didn't do anything to make up that arrearage before the end of 2014.
Let me narrow this down about what we may agree on. That current would refer to the calendar year ending on December 31, 2014.
I would agree with that.
Does that seem to be without a dispute as to what the decree means?
Right? In my opinion.
Okay, yes. In your opinion. And according to the printout and the testimony, the situation on December 31, 2014, is this correct, was as follows. Let's use different words. Arrears and delinquency, okay? Because that's enforcement speak. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
In fact, in the record, Mr. Yoakum himself admitted during his testimony, which can be found on page 7 of the Bill of Exceptions, that he had a balance at the end of the year of $500.
Well, now we threw in balance and behind and credit. Let's stick with the exhibit.
Yes.
So the exhibit would show on 12/31/14 that there was an arrearage of $500 and some.
Correct.
Okay. And with respect to the delinquency column, it would show none.
Correct.
Okay. So the last in money goes to delinquency, evidently, in DHS world. Okay. right? But nevertheless, there was a money owed, forgive me for introducing a new word, of 500 plus on December 31st, 14, which was categorized as an arrearage. He got behind in 2013 when he didn't have a job, right?
Yes.
Okay. Was he current? In your view, on December 31st, 14, his delinquency was up to date, but his arrearage column was behind, i.e. he owed money. Is that correct?
That's correct. He owed money.
And so therefore your position is he was not current.
Yes.
And going back to Justice Castle's question,
so I think,
what's current in the decree? Because we're here to read the decree.
Yes. I don't think that statute has anything to do with the language of current in the decree. There's specific
what
language.
What does current mean? Paid up with respect to both categories, arrearages and delinquency. Is that your view?
Yes.
If either of those is not current, not fully paid, somebody is not entitled to an exemption under the decree, is your view. Is that correct?
Correct, Judge. And if you look at the statute that is referenced, that merely says that he can't be reported because of the schedule, right? If it was that, if he owed $161 because that was the schedule of payment, then he wouldn't be delinquent, couldn't be reported for that. Agree with that.
The statute is a certain amount of grace because bookkeepers may not be up to date and you might be 2 weeks behind because the bookkeeper didn't send money.
Agreed. I don't think that is applicable to Mr. Yocum, though, even if you were to find that that's like the definition of current, because the statute says that it's solely due to his wage withholding schedule. And
but
him
the statute
behind,
refers to both arrearage and delinquent, does it not?
It does. But it's not due, in this case, solely to his wage withholding schedule. It's due, and he has a balance, because he did not make a payment in March of 2013 and then made no efforts to make that up. So he was behind and he was not current. In addition to the child support that was owed, Mr. Yocum owed for daycare expenses in this case. And the statute, or the decree, excuse me, specifically includes that he has to be current on his daycare expense obligation before he's entitled to claim those minor children. And by his own testimony, he admitted, though he got a little cagier as the hearing went on and as we had an additional hearing, he admitted, though, initially, and that's page 18 of the Bill of Exceptions, that he knew that he owed money for daycare in this case. He knew that his children were attending daycare, and he specifically said he knew that he owed Ms. Underwood money.
How did he know that? Was he sent a notice from her that you owe X amount of daycare for this fiscal year or this calendar year?
So she testified that she gave him at least three receipts, that he would get angry with her and ugly, and so at some point she did stop providing them. There was a modification action in 2016. His deposition was taken. That deposition testimony is in evidence. He admits that he knew that he owed her money at that time as well.
So those three receipts, were they ever paid?
He says specifically throughout his testimony, he's never paid even $1 of child care expenses for the minor children. And to the point where she couldn't afford it anymore, she then had to have state assistance come in and pay because he was not taking care of his obligation here to help with the child care expenses. And she's a preschool teacher, doesn't make a lot of money. And so Mr. Yocum came into this case, you know, asking for her to be held in contempt with unclean hands. He knew that he owed in 2014 at the end of the year for child support. He knew that he'd never paid any amount of daycare expenses for these minor children, and yet he wanted her to be held in contempt for claiming the minor children in 2014 and 2019. So I am asking this court to reverse that finding of contempt. I'm asking this court in the alternative to give her an offset. There was evidence provided throughout the hearing of the child care expenses that she did pay for the minor children, and that Mr. Yocum did not pay $1 towards this, his 50% of that $32,000. I ask you to reverse the order of attorney's fees in this case.
Does the evidence show $32,000?
I think when you add it all up, what I tried to get in, and I know it was difficult at points, you can tell from the hearings, but I do think that it does show. Exhibit 20 came in, which is a text message that contained statements, though Mr. Yocum didn't want to call them statements because then if he called them statements, then he would owe for those childcare expenses. But I think that between those and the testimony that Ms. Yocum gave on the October 5th, 2020 hearing and also the June 3rd, 2021 hearing, that there was evidence of that.
Was the information that was sent to him, were those text messages or were they actually copies of the statements that she was getting sent to her?
So she didn't have those anymore, Judge. By the time she brought this in 2020, she didn't have like the original ones. She had a printout, but she also testified. And I don't think that
my question is, were the statements themselves ever submitted to him?
On October 5th, 2020, by text message, yes.
The actual statements or just an amount in a text message?
No, they were statements typed up from the two different daycare places that the children attended.
Thank you.
Were those admitted?
So I think that they were admitted through the text messages because they were contained within the text messages and you can read them. And they were offered for the proof that he received statements, and I mean that was the purpose, right? Is that he received statements showing what he owed, and he refused to pay them. He might not have believed that they were statements. He might not have liked those as statements, but they were. With no further questions, I will sit down. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Cleveland. Good morning to you.
May it please the court and counsel, it's so nice to be here in person instead of on Zoom. It's really nice to see everybody's faces again. This case is really a simple set of facts. It started out with a straightforward contempt filing by Mr. Yocum for the 2014 and 2019 violations of the decree by Ms. Underwood. Mr. Yocum is entitled to use the specific child support of the specific children under the decree for tax purposes if he's current on his child support obligation. In 2014, Ms. Underwood filed using all the children. Mr. Yocum at all times had an automatic wage withholding except for a 6-week period, I believe, that where he was unemployed. So at all times, he was striving to be paying his child support in a timely manner.
What does the evidence show of the situation was on December 31st, 2014?
It shows that there's 500 plus, I think it's 70-something dollars, that is a balance that's due. It's less than 1 month's child support, Your Honor.
So, and that was categorized as an arrearage as distinguished from a
delinquency.
Delinquency in DHS speak.
Yes.
Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
And what we know here, and I tried my best to explain in my brief how these things work with automatic wage withholdings. I've done a number of cases where I've even been appointed to represent parents that are in arrears on the contempts that are brought by the state. And many times people can get behind if they have an automatic wage withholding because of the way that the payments are made. So, for example,
the money that comes in due to withholding goes initially to current, it goes into that which would be due on the first, and if there's money left over, it would be applied to an arrearage. Is that how it works?
I believe that is how it works.
And you nibble away at the arrearage if you can.
And would you say that again?
You nibble away at the arrearage if you can.
Yes.
I'm not implying bad motive. It's a distribution of when the check is received, how it's allocated.
And it's also a product of when the employer takes it out and pays it into the payment center.
Right. So he would have been paying $700 a month in this time frame, and even under the statute, if it were to apply and came in on say January 15th or any day in January, right? it would nevertheless be applied into these times, and thereafter, if money was left over, applied to the arrearage.
Your Honor, you are correct. What I would indicate to you is he was less than 1 month, showed a balance of less than 1 month because his child's.
But what I'm trying to separate out here is it's not a timing thing that causes him to have an arrearage.
It may be a timing thing, Your Honor, because when the employer pays in, and you'll see during that time period that there are some, most months there are four payments of $161 and some odd cents. Mm-hmm. There's 1 month where there are six, just because it's probably one of those very weird months where there are, happen to be six pay periods, or they paid in an extra amount. So, but the payor has no control over when the employer sends in the money or the timing of that. And so that's why
So your argument is if that 700 had gotten there sooner, he would have been fully, he'd be up to date in every category.
Yes, Judge.
But in fact, his arrearage was not cleared until 2016. January 2015 wouldn't solve all those problems.
I believe, and I'd have to look at it, I thought that any arrearage was in... any sort of arrearage was covered in 2015, but I could be mistaken on that, Judge.
Counsel seems to argue that there was a failure to make a payment in March of 2013, and that that's what has caused the arrearage, not this pay withholding. Is that your understanding of the record?
That could be. That may well have affected it, but I think if we read what the statute says on automatic wage withholdings, which we want to have for parties so that they have this constant stream of income, and that's why that statute was created to protect from minor arrearages being used to...
Well, missing 1 month wouldn't be a minor arrearage based on wage withholding. That would be a failure to comply with the court's order.
Well, this is less than 1 month, Your Honor.
Well, okay, so is the wage withholding eating into that missed payment of March of 2013, or what's happened to that?
Well, he was unemployed for 6 weeks.
Okay.
And what he did was he immediately went out, got a job, got everything. He had to get new insurance.
Well, his obligation doesn't go away because he's unemployed unless the court modifies the decree and says because of circumstances now pay less. So if he, in fact, missed a March payment in 2013... that's still a missed payment, whether he's unemployed or not, whether he's got wage withholding or not. It's still a payment that's not been paid pursuant to the court order. So my question is that being whittled away by the wage withholding that's more than his monthly obligation, or is it just...
Yes, Your Honor, because some months there are six payments.
Okay.
And I part of that statute, that same statute that we were talking about, 43-117-18, talks about... if the payments are continuous and reoccurring, and if the total amount of the withholding is the same as on the annual basis, which it was more than the annual basis he was paying in 2014.
So your proposition is that in reading the language of the decree, he was current on December 31, 2014, notwithstanding an arrearage of 500 plus.
That is my position, Your Honor.
Thank you.
And Your Honor, Ms., one of the important things here to note, and there, this case in large part because of COVID and other things that happened, because our first part of the trial, my contempt that I brought, was done on Zoom, and then Ms. Underwood filed her contempt, and she sent what is, she wants to purport as a statement of child care, and it was in no way a statement. It was something that was prepared in 2020 by persons unknown. It was never admitted into evidence for purposes of the truth of the matter asserted. It was objected to repeatedly, and repeatedly Judge Strong did not allow it to come in for the truth of the matter because those documents are hearsay. And Ms. Underwood did not seem to understand that there's no way to make any kind of document like that not hearsay. If she would have wanted to have had that in there for the truth of the matter, if there was any kind of a statement, because none of those things existed, nor did she ever produce those for her husband to be paying childcare during all those years. He doesn't recall ever getting even so much as a receipt. He may have gotten a receipt, but during the course of all those years, it would be hard to remember if such a thing happened. She says, well, I didn't give him receipts because he got angry.
Let me break out these years, because your contempt on behalf of the father was based on 2014 and 2019.
Correct. Right?
Okay, we talked about 2014. Your view is he was current and therefore should get exempt.
Right. Yes.
Moving on to 2019, he had a credit in the child support area, right? Mm-hmm. And so therefore the mother has said, not so fast because you're behind on child daycare.
Actually, she didn't say that. She said,
I
thought it would be fair because the oldest child, Taylor, had aged out and my client had had custody of Taylor.
But as a legal matter, she believes she's entitled to the exemption because he's not up to date on daycare.
That was the afterthought, I believe, by filing this contempt.
She filed the contempt on that basis.
Yes.
Thank you.
But
that really is as to 2019.
But there is a condition precedent in my, this is what I would call it, to any sort of daycare being owed by the father. And that is that she give him statement. It says statements, but it could have been receipts showing that she'd paid. She claimed in her testimony, I know I never got free daycare. And he says, well, during our marriage when you worked at a daycare, you got free daycare. And then it turns out that for about 3 years, she was on Title 20 and got free daycare. And in one of the places that she worked, she had $5,000 per year free daycare, none of which she wanted to admit to until, or I guess if the word is cagey, I think that's exactly what would apply to her. She never gave him anything accurate, anything during the course of those years, and he owes nothing unless she gives him the bill. And so there's nothing to set off. And so I guess my time is up.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Do we have any time for rebuttal?
No, Your Honor.
There is no time for rebuttal. That concludes arguments on Yoakum versus Yoakum. Counsel, you are...